Standing on God's Promises. That's the title of our current series here on Power Walk with Pastor Paul Cannings. Thanks for joining us all this week as Dr. Paul Cannings shows us how we can read, apply, and stand firmly on God's promises no matter what we face. Teaching from the book of 1 Kings, here's Dr. Paul Cannings with the message titled, From Pain to Purpose. Let's listen.
You know, there are many people in the Bible that I look at, and there's many people in the Bible that provide to us great examples of how to deal with difficult situations, how to stay focused, how to not turn away from God in the midst of trials and difficulties. That's what I love about the Bible. It doesn't give us perfect people experiencing perfect situations because they walked with God perfectly. We have failures. We have people who've been through tremendous crisis and gone through tremendous pains. And the Bible will talk about it raw, not covering it up, not putting sweet words on it. But the truth is very direct. When the Pharisees, like when Jesus Christ was talking to them, he would say, "Woe, you vipers." That's who they were. That's how they functioned. That's how they devoured the widows around them. That's how they exploited people. So they are vipers. That's how he described them, because that's how they were. Truth is very direct. It doesn't hide anything or cover it up. It says what it is and what it means. You know, folks, this is why I love the scriptures, because it doesn't give us everything in every situation perfectly. So we learn in a variety of difficult situations how we could function, how God functions with us, and what he teaches us no matter what. And one of those persons in the scriptures that I hold high in how she functioned. And many scholars believe that Solomon writes about her in Proverbs 31, describing his mother, is Bathsheba. Bathsheba went through so much. Because you imagine you're in your yard, and so she was not outside of her zone. She was not seeking to entice anybody or do anything. She was doing what it was the custom of her day to do. And she waited for her husband, who was at war because of David. Her grandfather was one of David's mighty men. So she's accustomed to being around warriors, and they're going to war, and she's waiting for them to come home. And this is how she grew up. So it's nothing that is extremely weird about her taking a shower in the backyard. This is what they did. So she is not doing anything unusual. And David cannot control his lust. And he's supposed to be at war, but he's standing around in the cool of the evening, feeling how powerful and mighty he is in his Davidic city. That is a nice sized city with horse stables and servant quarters and all these different things. And now he's established himself, and now he is up on what is a flat roof where he could go out in the cool of the evening and enjoy the cool air. And he looks down and he sees Bathsheba. I understand the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, but we tend to forget he says he was a man after God's own heart. A man. When we look at that, we understand that this is horrible. Soldiers went to get her. How is this woman going to fight off these warriors, these soldiers, these people who guarded David, a mighty man who had a lot of enemies because he fought in a lot of wars? So they guards, and they go to Bathsheba and take her. What's the difference between that, somebody going up to a woman and physically taking her against her will? And Bathsheba now is there, and David takes advantage of the situation only for her to go home. And she's saying to David, "We got a problem. I'm pregnant." David then goes commit murder and having her husband killed. And now then her baby that comes from this relationship, now David takes it in as a wife. He's not like he's saying, "Will you marry me? Let's have a dating relationship, courtship," none of this stuff. That didn't even happen in the day anyway. He just said, "I'm the king. You're beautiful. I need you here. You're here." So it's not like she's got to fall in love with David. None of these different things. All this is happening against her will, where she has no power to stop anything. Then her baby dies. Her baby dies. Her firstborn child dies. God didn't hide this. He could have let it happen and go back to her husband like nothing happened. But God says, "No, we're not hiding this. Sin, when it's been done in the darkness, will be exposed in the light." David can't cover this up. The baby dies. David cries out to God. No, baby dies. And David now freshes up himself, and guess what he does? He goes to Bathsheba to comfort her. So she's mourning the death of her child. Even though it comes from this kind of situation, Bathsheba is mourning the death of her child because she's a mother. She had a child, and then the child died, and it's painful. As a pastor, it's one of the most painful situations I've ever seen. And so she's going through that, and David goes to her and is intimate with her and to comfort her, okay? How do you look at that as a woman? You would think she'd be bitter. She'll be upset. Just can't wait for a chance to get him, to find revenge. Because at the end of all of this, you got Nathan shows up, and Nathan challenges David to the sin that he committed, confronts him about it. David confesses, and he could see his genuineness of his confession when he just walks out of the city as God commands him. He submits to the structure, but guess who has to walk out the city with him? I mean, she now left her house, left her husband is dead. She's now in the palace of David. Don't know if all her stuff is still at her house. She's now walking out of the city, and she had nothing to do with this. It's not like she is walking out of the city because she tempted him. She drew him to her. No, no, no. She is innocently engaged in this whole thing and being dragged into it. And now she has to leave a city, go live somewhere else. And here she is now dealing with senior David weakened and getting ready to die. You would think that when David calls her into his chambers, I ain't going in there. It seemed like that would be a normal thing to say. But Bathsheba is focused. She's focused on the fact that you could live in the past forever, and it erases your present, and it totally erases your future. Or you could accept the present and do something strong for God in the present, and therefore let nobody erase your future. I love the way Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Do not become weary in well-doing, because in due season, your season will come. Everybody's fruit comes at a different pace." But the Bible is saying is don't become weary, meaning the word means don't faint. The Bible is saying don't pass out. He understands that we can get tired. He understands that the load can seem heavy. That's why he says, cast your load upon me, for my way is easy, my burden is light. He talks about things like that. He talks about armor. He talks about the fact that we need to come to him and pour out our hearts, and he would hear the groans of our heart. None of those things is ever denied within the scriptures. He understands that this world is evil. That's why he talks about an armor. He understands how wicked it is. That's why he sits at the right hand of the Father. None of these things is God is not concerned about. He's structured everything for us to go through pain and difficulty. He literally says, don't be surprised when you experience various trials and temptations. Don't be surprised that something strange is happening to us. You will have many tribulations, he told the disciples in John 16:33, as you go out. So these things he's teaching us is normal, because 1 John chapter 5 says Satan is the power that runs the earth. Ephesians chapter 2, he is the prince of the air. So the Bible understands that that's out there. There's darkness out there. That's why we are called the light. So when we look at all these scenarios that is taking place, we can be so consumed by the past that we can't grow past it. There is so much anger and bitterness and resentment that we can't face our present. We're always trying to escape from the present. Some people drug. Some people struggle with depression. Some people are so damaged from the past that to get them to talk through that process is very difficult. Folks, you can't let the past erase your present. You can't do that because it kills your future. And what we see with Bathsheba is it happened. What happened, happened. It took place. She has a son now. His name is Solomon. David looks upon Solomon and sees that God has in his wisdom and in his grace and in his mercy, he's allowed Solomon to come. And every child is a gift from God. So he understands that this child, he sees God's hand on Solomon. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, he admits that God's hand is on him, and Nathan sees that. God's redemption is powerful. So before Bathsheba arrives in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 28, we first see the redemption of God taking place. What we see, what we know before this passage could ever take place in 1 Kings, is that David had repented, and his repentance was sincere. Bathsheba must have known that David had come to a point where he's going, "Ah, God, forgive me." And she sees that that repentance is genuine. He's cried and mourned over the loss of family members as a result of his sin. Bathsheba now has a son that she's loved and she's developed. And he loved him so much that he would honor her to sit on the throne right next to him, because he honors and loves his mother. So that when she comes into his presence as a king, he would bow as a king before her. She made very good use of what God gave her, her son. And God redeemed her and caused her to sit on the throne after David passes, because she never let the past erase her present. In Psalm 51, you see the heart that David reels out here because he had committed a horrible sin. In Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of the tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and declare when thou judgest. Behold, I have sharpened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou dearest truth, and inward parts, and in my hidden part thou wilt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." David speaks as a man broken. He says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with thy free spirit." He pours out his heart to God. One of the things that helps us to deal with the present is when we're committed to face the pain of the past. And we face it with a commitment to what God is calling us to do for the future. I pray that as we live through this process with Bathsheba, it will heal you. Stay focused.
Amen, Dr. Cannings. We read the Psalms often and see David's struggles and how he strengthened himself in the Lord. But Bathsheba must have struggled with her own set of circumstances, much sorrow and pain. And yet we see God's redemption in the whole situation. For a copy of this message series, please call us at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. Or you can browse through all of our ministry resources on our website at powerwalkministries.org. Friends, Pastor Cannings also serves as senior pastor at Living Word Fellowship Church in Houston. And if you live in the area, you're always welcome to join him and the congregation. The church is located at 6350 T.C. Jester Boulevard in Houston. You have your choice of two services, either 8 a.m. or 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. And now remember, if you're stuck in the past, which is affecting how you live your life today, I hope you'll come sincerely before God to confess and to forgive and walk in the freedom that He offers.